Sunday morning, 10:26:25. We're looking at part 7 of body worship, and the title is Inconvenience. Now, I wrote here, if it's one thing that I've learned as an apostle and prophet and the training that I've endured to be here, is that most everything that God will ask us to do will be inconvenient to your flesh. God asked this question to a prophet of old. We're going to look over to Isaiah chapter 6. Starting with verse 1 there. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon the throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphim, each one had 6 wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts, the whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. And then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which it had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. And he said, Go and tell this people, Hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert, and be healed. Then said I, Lord, how long? And he answered, Until the cities be wasted without inhabitant, and the houses without man, and the land be utterly desolate. The Lord have removed men far away, and there be a great forsaking in the midst of the land. But yet in it shall be a tenth, and it shall return, and shall be eaten as a felled tree and as an oak, whose substance is in them when they cast their leaves, so the holy seed shall be the substance thereof. Inconvenience, put to trouble, annoyance, or inopportunity. Is it ever a good time to serve the Lord? No. Not really. I would say no, for life goes on and things get in the way, but will we be the one that, like Isaiah says, Lord, send me? It's been my opinion, the fire gets too hot, they run away. They jump out. They can't take it. I know, because I've been participating in that. I have participated in that. When the fire got too hot, I jumped out. We've all done it. We're going to look at some scriptures. Paul told Timothy this. This is 2 Timothy chapter 4. You have to make a decision. You're going to serve the Lord, whether it is convenient or inconvenient. Well, I'd say right now, pretty well everything in my life's inconvenient. And the Lord's requiring of me probably more than I've ever had to give. This is 2 Timothy 4, 1. I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be instant in season or out of season. That means when it's convenient and when it isn't convenient. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall run away, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. Paul's fixing to go. He says, but I'm now ready to be offered. So he's exhorting Timothy to fight the good fight of faith, whether it's instant, you be instant in season, out of season. Because people have turned away their ears to myths and legends. I mean, it's like that in our world today, more so than any other time in history. People would rather believe a lie than the truth. Well, you know, the lie doesn't require anything at the moment. At the moment. It is it bites you in the rear at the end. But it seems to be the easy way. Jesus talked about the easy way. Broad is the path that leads away to destruction, and many find it. But narrow is the road. The one that's, the Amplified says, it's constricted by pressure, and few there be that find it. Yeah. Let's look at Peter. This is 1 Peter 1, 6 and 7. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. We have a choice. When the fire gets hot, it's when we begin to see the flesh begin to react. I would like to consider three Hall of Famers today. They were the cream of the crop in God's book. This is, we'll look at Hebrews 11 first, verse 34. Then we'll turn over. It's an Old Testament story. Most people, I guess, human nature is to self-preservation. Right here, quench the violence of fire. Quenched the violence of fire. Okay, let's go over to Daniel. I think it's chapter 3. Let me look here. It is. All right, Daniel, where'd you go? There you are. I mean, there's several stories there in Daniel. Starting with verse 1 there. Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold, whose height was 80 cubits, and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Reminds me of the Washington Monument. And we all know what that represents. A lot of the layout of the nation's capital. The Nebuchadnezzar, the king, sent together the princes, the governors, and the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the province to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar, the king, had set up. Now Daniel had a dream, and in that dream it showed Nebuchadnezzar is the head of gold. It talked about really history. But there's also another part of that story where that statue was broken up at the feet by a rock, a mountain, Jesus. Then the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the province were gathered together until the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up, and they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then an herald cried aloud to you, it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king hath set up. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Therefore, at that time, when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and all kinds of music, all the people, the nations, and the languages fell down and worshipped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Wherefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. They spake and said to the king, Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the golden image. Seemed like there's Democrats back then, too, watching every move, trying to find a loophole. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth, that he should be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. The Nebuchadnezzar in his rage and fury commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made. Well, but if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, in other words, doesn't make any difference whether he would or not, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve the gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 1/7 times more than it was wont to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, their hats, their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. The Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, Did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, True, O king. He answered and said, Lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. The Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire. And the princes, the governors, the captains, and the king's counselors, being gathered together, saw these men, upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was an hair of their head singed, or changed, it says. Neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. The Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, has sent his angel, delivered his servants that trusted in him, and have changed the king's word, yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill. Because there's no other God that can deliver after this sort. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Cool story. What would have most people done? They'd have bowed. I mean, we see our nation. Most people have bowed. Very few have come out and stood in the gap. Okay, let's keep going here. They could have bowed to the establishment. It would have been more convenient. Self-preservation is pretty strong. When you think you're in harm, most people do whatever it takes to preserve their life. Okay, let's keep going here. This is Hebrews chapter 11. Okay, 11, let's go to 23 there. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had request unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, essaying to do, were drowned. Okay, we're going to look at some scriptures here in the epistles. 2 Peter 2. Starting with verse 1 there. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. And if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that after should live ungodly, and deliver just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them in seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust until the day of judgment to be punished. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government, presumptuous are they, self-willed, they are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not railing accusation against them before the Lord. But these, as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, and they utterly perish in their own corruption, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness, as they that count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. Spots they are and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you. That's interesting, sporting. We got one of the big sporting things have just kicked off. There's no telling who all's going to come down in the sporting arena. All the corruption. having eyes full of adultery, and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls and heart, they have exercised with covetous practices cursed children, which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. But I was rebuked for his iniquity. The dumb ass speaking with man's voice forbade this madness of the prophet. These are wells without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the midst of darkness is reserved forever. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escape from them who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption, for of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. For after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome. The latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it's happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. We're going to continue with chapter 3 here. The second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir you up, or up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing that first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overwhelmed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. It doesn't matter what kind of narratives they put out there to try to discredit the word of God and their fantasies that they try to convince people to believe, judgment's coming. Fire against the day of judgment. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as a day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we according to this promise look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found in of him in peace, without spot and blameless. And account that the longsuffering of our Lord is salvation, even as men, our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Tell you what, judgment day is coming, whether people realize it or not. And, you know, I don't know how anyone could be caught unaware. 1 Thessalonians 3, 3 and 4 says that no man should be moved by these afflictions, for yourselves know that we are appointed thereto. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and you know. A lot of people give up or bail out because of tribulation. Nobody likes tribulation. But we cannot allow that. Because you know what? It's because you're going against the grain, the world system. You're not of this world. 1 Timothy 3:9 says, holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. As we see these things come on the earth, and we're seeing them happen right now, whether apparent or not, we're going to have to hold to what we have. Because he's going to shake the earth, and what can't be shaken will remain, but what can be shaken will be. Okay, let's keep going here. The gospel is a mystery and can only be discerned by the Spirit, and men must seek to find out about this mystery. If they do not, they will end up just being fleshly men doing fleshly works and think they are doing God's service. Now, what Jesus said to the Pharisees? They were fleshly men doing fleshly works and thought they did God's service. They thought they did God's service by killing Jesus. It is inconvenient to deny yourself and take up your cross and follow him. This is not something you can do at your convenience. This is a lifetime endeavor that must be given priority. We don't want to end up like this bunch. This is Matthew. I'm going to read this out of the Amplified Bible. It's Matthew chapter 7. It's real easy to develop that I don't want to. I don't want to. I don't want to. I'm trying to catch myself and not say those words anymore. Not to say I don't want to. Lord, I'll do whatever you want me to do. Okay. Starting with verse 13 there. It says, enter through the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and spacious and broad is the way that leads away to destruction, and many are those who are entering through it. But the gate is narrow, contracted by pressure, and the way is straitened and compressed that leads away to life, and few are those who find it. Beware of false prophets who come to you dressed as sheep, but inside they're devouring wolves. You will fully recognize them by their fruits. Do people pick grapes from thorns or figs from thistles? Even so, every healthy, sound tree bears good fruit, worthy of admiration, but the sickly, decaying, worthless tree bears bad, worthless fruit. A good, healthy tree cannot bear bad, worthless fruit, nor can a bad, diseased tree bear excellent fruit, worthy of admiration. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and cast into the fire. Therefore, you will fully know them by their fruits. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name and driven out demons in your name and done many mighty works in your name? And then I will say to them openly and publicly, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who act wickedly, disregarding my commands. So everyone who hears these words of mine and acts upon them, obeying them, will be like a sensible, prudent, practical, wise man who built his house upon the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a stupid, foolish man who built his house upon the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great and complete was the fall of it. Yeah, it seems inconvenient to follow the Spirit and follow the ways of God, but the thing about it, God supplies His grace, His power and ability. for us to be able to do it. To be in season, out of season means that your flesh is going to have to suffer by doing that which is not convenient. Just part of it. I don't want to. You know, I realized I say that, I've got into a habit of saying that. I don't want to. I don't want to go. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do that. That should not be in our vocabulary as a child of God. We should say, Lord, here I am. Send me. 1 Timothy 4. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanded to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. This is going on today. For every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused. If it be received with thanksgiving. See, this is that body worship that the Lord has had us speaking on for so many weeks. For it is sanctified by the word of God in prayer. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. If I walked into any fellowship today, and even the word of faith ones, and I began to speak this and tell them what I know and what God has shown me, what do you think their reaction would be? I got to give up my pills. I don't know. But refuse profane and old wives' fables and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. I like cleanliness is next to godliness. Where's that? Oh, wives' tales? That's where a lot of this stuff came from. Made up stuff. Well, if you do this, this will happen. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. There is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, for therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. These things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example in the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and in purity, till I come. Give attendance to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that's in thee, which is given thee by the presbytery, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery, and whatever you say that. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy property may appear to all. In other words, so you don't get off course. Because he's warning him about these, whatever you call them, this hypocrisy that's blowing through the church. Always has. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Blown about by every wind of doctrine. That's how the church has become infiltrated with all kinds of things. Well, now, you know, God uses medicine. You know, he thought it was a better idea. No. Jesus took the stripes on his back for healing, for all time, for all things. Oh no, you know, we got to exercise, we got to watch what we eat, you know, we got to take care of this vessel. And I like, where does it say that? It doesn't say that. It says take no thought for your life. What you going to eat, drink, or wear? See, people don't want to hear the truth because they've given up listening to sound doctrine. They would not, probably, it's like Brother Hagin saying, if the Holy Ghost came in here with a red hat on, Most people wouldn't even recognize him. Well, I think it's the same way with sound doctrine in the church. Would they even know the truth if it came up and bit them on the nose? I don't know. But Paul's telling Timothy, you keep meditating on these things and you keep them in the forefront and you make sure you bring forth these doctrines. Stick with them. You'll be a good minister of Jesus Christ if you will do this. Well, I never heard any of them do it. Okay. Paul said this. This is 1 Corinthians 9. Start verse 16 there. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. What is my reward then? Verily, that when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. You know what? I think about everybody and their dog wrote a book. They write books and all these kinds of things. Is that what he said do? No. He's talking about not abusing his power as the God in the gospel. Like Rick Renner, the book on merchandising the anointing. And unto the Jews, I became as a Jew that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. Think about the inconvenience of Paul, all the things he went through to get the gospel out. To them that are without law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize, so run that you may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainty. So fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. It didn't sound like much of anything was convenient in Paul's life, from what I read after. It didn't matter to Paul. He was all in. Convenient or inconvenient, he was all in, and he just told his body to shut up. All the things he went through, just think about that snake bite. 1 Timothy. This is 4. I think I read that while ago, didn't I? Did I? Okay, don't need to go there. Don't let me digress here. 2 Timothy 1, sorry. Verse 6. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. I think most people, they miss it because of fear. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, but according to our works, but not according to our works, but according to our own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Whereunto I am anointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed and am persuaded he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. This thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia turned away from me, of whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. But when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me. The Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day, and in how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus, thou knowest very well. Paul suffered because of his call. Just imagine being in prison. He did not let that happen. He did not let sorrow or complacency and those things. That's where he penned the epistles that we esteem today and glean from. He wrote those letters in prison, especially in Rome. He taught by example. He didn't just say it and hope you'd follow him. He did it. Okay, 2 Timothy 2. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the graces in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for mastery, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all these things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore I undo all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful still. He cannot deny himself. See, Paul, he suffered. He absolutely suffered in it because it was inconvenient. Everything on his life was inconvenient. Okay, let's keep going here. Let's go to chapter 3, 2 Timothy 3. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and ever able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. If you think it's going to be convenient for you, then you might as well quit now. Paul made this statement, just one scripture. This is 1 Corinthians 15. Verse 31 there. protest by your rejoicing, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. Unfortunately, most take the low road instead of the high road. After Paul's demise, Jesus began to exhort John. Here he is in exile on this island, and Jesus begins to give him a message for his ministry. In the seven churches, only one hit the mark. What was going on? We're going to look at that just for a minute. Revelation chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 7. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Then verse 9. I know thy works in tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan. Okay, verse 13 through 16. And to the angel of the church in Pergamos write, these things saith he which hath the sharp sword with two edges. I know thy works, and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is, and thou holdest fast my name, and hast not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you where Satan dwelleth. But I have a few things against you, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel to eat things sacrificed unto idols and to commit fornication. So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. Repent of these, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. Then Revelation 18, verse 18. And unto the angel of the church in Thyatira write, these things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. Then Revelation 3:9. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet and to know that I have loved thee. So, witchcraft, sexual rituals were going on in their fellowships, exploitation of the human body through sexual practices like sodomy and the eating of human flesh. Witchcraft, pharmakia are going on here. Seems nothing has changed on this point. This stuff is all part of most churches. They have adapted witchcraft into their circles and say it is God. It's not going to be convenient to get the rogue fellowships in line, but just like John and Paul, God will give us the plan if we will be willing to say, here I am, send me. Okay, that's going to be it.